Should I submit to DUI field sobriety tests? My name is Gordon Thompson, and today is July 13, 2016. The topic for today's podcast is, should I submit to DUI field sobriety tests? Well, first of all, if the question is, should I have submitted to DUI field sobriety tests, meaning that I've been arrested and I've either done the test or not done the test, and was that the correct decision? Well, the answer is it doesn't make any difference. Whatever happened, happened, and it's the responsibility of your lawyer to make the best out of whatever happened. So if the question is, should I have in the past, it doesn't matter. If the question, though, is if for some reason I am stopped on a suspicion of DUI, should I do the field sobriety test, then that's not a clear question. That's a question without a clear answer. In Arizona, an officer has the right to ask people to do field sobriety tests if they have a reasonable suspicion the person is driving under the influence. Now, reasonable suspicion is a very low standard, and it does not take much to meet that standard. So if an officer stops somebody and asks them to do field sobriety tests, the person's thought at that stage should be the officer, at least in their mind, has a reasonable suspicion that I'm under the influence. In Arizona, the police have a right to ask people to do field sobriety tests, as I say, and a person has the power to refuse to do the tests, but not the right to refuse. And what I mean by that is this. No one can physically make somebody stand on one leg or walk on a line or touch their nose, any of those tests. You can't physically be forced to do that. So you have the power to refuse to do the tests. However, there is no legal or constitutional right that says you can refuse to do these tests. And so the significance of refusing to do the test is, number one, you'll be arrested. There's no question that if an officer thinks that they have reasonable suspicion the person is driving under the influence, the person refuses to do the tests, they're going to be arrested. That is part of the evidence that could be used to justify the arrest. Namely, the person refused to do the field sobriety test. So the first thing is, you refuse to do the test, you're going to be arrested. The second point is that since you do not have the right to refuse to do field sobriety tests, if there is a trial, the prosecutor can bring that fact to the attention of the jury, namely the person refused to do the field sobriety test, and try to infer from that that why he refused the field sobriety test if they thought they were innocent. So that's something that the Arizona court said that the prosecutors can do. They can argue about a person's refusal to do the field sobriety test. So these would indicate reasons why a person should not refuse, but rather to do the field sobriety test. Now, having said that, occasionally people, of course, do extremely poorly on field sobriety tests. If they, for reasons of having had too much to drink, can't do these tests at all, then maybe it would be a better thought to refuse to do the field sobriety tests, although it's difficult to make that decision when somebody's had a lot to drink or has ingested drugs that have impaired them to be making a rational decision about whether to do the tests or not. My experience is with jury trials that field sobriety tests many times help the defendant. The reason I say that is that, first of all, one of the tests the police and the prosecutors love is called the HGN, or horizontal gaze nystagmus, where an officer testifies that they're trained on how to do this, and it's a very reliable field sobriety test, and simply by looking at the eye movement, a person's eye movement, the sideward movement of their eye movement, they can come to an opinion as to whether they think the alcohol level is above or below a 0.08%. Prosecutors and police love this. They think it's a great test. My experience is juries do not really put much weight in it. Each juror, of course, is an individual and everybody's different, but I've done many trials where it appeared that the jurors just simply ignored the HDN testimony about that test. So I personally do not think that testimony about the HDN is really that big of a deal. Now, as to the other tests, for example, the walk and turn is one of my favorites. And I say that because what the prosecutor and the officers will say is if somebody has two or more indicators that are bad. On the performance of that test, that indicates that a failure is the most common way to put it, meaning the person did bad. For the walk and turn, I once counted up, I think there's about 108 ways somebody can do something wrong. And if they do, for example, 106 of those correctly, but do two of them wrong, well, then according to the prosecutor and the officer, that means a failure. For example, the test consists of, in part, doing 9 steps out, 9 steps back, touching heel to toe, arms down at the side, staying on the line. So if somebody does the test entirely correctly, except for on one step, steps slightly off the line, and does not touch heel to toe, that's two things wrong. Everything else can be perfect. 106 of the 108 points can be perfect. But because of those two, they will try to argue the person failed the test. I think that the average juror can relate to the performance on the field sobriety tests and make it seem, and it makes it seem, like the police and prosecutors are way overreaching when they describe that as a failure. And it can call into question other parts of the testimony if that's the case. So on balance, I think field sobriety tests can help. Now, having said that, certainly I've done trials where there were no field sobriety tests, and that led to questions about really how reliable was the blood or breath test if the field sobriety tests are not there to corroborate it. So it can go both ways. So in short, there really isn't a clear answer to the question, should I do or should I submit to DUI field sobriety tests? Just keep in mind, should you ever end up in the situation of being asked, that if you do refuse, number one, you're going to be arrested, and number two, at a trial, the prosecutors are going to argue that refusal. If you have any questions about this podcast, please call me. Thank you.